first in studio, I have Sally. And Sally is here as local psychotherapist and psychologist. And she's here to talk today about adult anxiety. Anxiety around adults living in, sorry, adult children living back in the homestead. Mm. Did I get that right, Sally?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is, I'm robbing the idea from someone else now, from a rival radio station, just to let you know that
I heard. Oh yeah, do we have rivals? We do.
You have only the one, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't mention the name though. Go on.
So I heard an interview this morning and they were talking, it was a parent talking about their adult son who was in his late 30s and had come back to live at home, and just the difficulties around that for both the parents and the son, and negotiating that and how to manage the pretty obvious and some of the less obvious stresses that can arise as a result of that. And this, of course, is happening a lot at the moment.
Okay. Sally, in this particular case study that we were talking about, was the son away from the house for a while and then came back to live in the house again, or was there never a break in the living arrangements?
Great question. So in this particular instance, the son had been away and had come back to save for a deposit on a house with his partner. Mm-hmm. So there was very specific reasons for coming home, and it was around saving money. And of course, then there are other adult children in inverted commas who, and we probably all know one or two of these people who haven't left yet. Mm. So people in their 20s and 30s, 40s and even 50s who are still living with mammy and daddy. Yeah,
well, that's okay, I guess, if it works. But I suppose the questions are, there's a broader question. Why are people still living at home? Is it that rent is too high or mortgages are too high? And people find it very hard to put their foot of the ladder.
Yep.
So that's really beyond their control to a large extent, I think, don't you think?
I think that's the reason a lot of people do choose to move back home, because it's about saving on that rent, and rent prices, as you know, are extortionate in some cases. So yeah, it's a way of saving money, but then it just can bring it with it so many problems if it isn't managed in a healthy way between and negotiated between the parents and the now adult who's living with them. And in my experience, actually, the most common friction and causes of arguments are around finances and money and fairness.
Yeah.
So fairness around financial outlays, you know, who's buying the food, all of that stuff.
Okay.
But also fairness around housework and the expectations that people have of each other can be so incredibly unrealistic and difficult, as I said, for both sides, you know.
Right. Okay. So if we start off with, we'll say the case study that you heard, what were the kinds of difficulties, we'll say, on the kid who returned to the family home?
Well, I thought what was interesting was, more interesting actually, was the feedback that came in. So listeners were saying, making comments about, you know, oh, so my son or my daughter's home and they won't do their washing and they won't tidy their room, or, you know, my parent keeps walking in on me and the girlfriend, and this kind of stuff was coming in on the text lines.
Right.
So I was thinking, crikey, like there's so many boundary issues here that really need to be discussed. Mm. And these are things that can be really hard to face up to and to just talk about, because it's hard to talk about things like money and fairness and feeling hurt or feeling like you're disappointing your parents as well, or feeling like you're scrounging off them. But it's equally difficult for parents to say, you know, we're getting on now and this is our house actually, and we'd really like you to go. Mm. And we kind of suspect that you could go. Mm. And often that is the case, where it's too comfortable. People can make it too comfortable for people to move out. There's no motivation to move out. And parents experience an awful lot of guilt around that. But the trouble with guilt, of course, is it can so quickly turn into resentment. And relationships can be really, like, proper damaged.
Mm. Very interesting. God, there's so much there that can be unpacked, isn't there, Sally?
Yeah. So
I suppose, what would you advise in families in this situation?
Well, as you just said, there is, you know, there's so much, and we could probably, you know, spend a few programs on this. But I think
core issues, we'll say, if we identify three or four core boundary issues that need to be discussed or arranged.
I would say finances, household chores, and social life. So things like, you know, when an adult is an adult, then is it really okay to say to the adult, you know, what time are you coming home at? Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? Those kind of questions can land as invasive to an adult child. But at the same time, it's not the adult child's house, it's the parents' house. So isn't there that room for discussion whereby, well, it's my house, so I don't really want you bringing back all these people for a party, or I don't want you bringing back, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend or random girl or boy that you meet when you're out. So as if we bring it kind of up a step from the three core issues, I would say the one core issue is that people find a way to talk and that they formalise that and actually organise a meeting or regular meetings. Cringy as this might sound, this can actually be really effective. That if you organise, if we say, look, on the first Monday of every month, we'll sit down, see how things are going. Is there anything that you want to discuss or change? Because people come home and they say, I'm home for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and it can often morph into years.
Right.
And that's when things go unsaid, and that's when relationships can deteriorate.
Right.
And people can be taken for granted. And all sorts of things, power dynamics can come into play. And the other thing, of course, is no matter what age you are, if you go back into your family home, you're kind of triggered back into that almost adolescent space. And you might take on the behaviours of your teenage self, and your parents or parent or whoever's there might take on that role of parenting your teenage self, so that you become infantilized in a way.
Right.
So, and what I mean by that is where the parent unwittingly treats an adult like a child and, you know, says things like, you know, would you not clean your room? Oh, the smell of and all this. But equally does their look at laundry for them and does their cooking for them.
Right.
So that they're in a way enabling them to remain helpless, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Learned helplessness.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Let me see. I suppose, how do you get your kids to move out? Sorry, being a bit blunt about it.
You're reminding me of a film called Failure to Launch. I can't remember how old it is, but it's quite a funny film. Matthew McConaughey, I think, is in it. Anyway, how do you get your children to move out? You ask them.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of tiptoeing around with this stuff, you know, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings and all this, and I understand that, but you know, it's okay to be clear with people and say, you know, I believe that you're an adult and you can make it on your own. And this is my house and our space or my space and I'd like it back. And you're entitled to say, you're not doing anything wrong. I think that's what I'd like parents to hear, is you're not doing anything wrong by asking someone to leave.
Okay. But what if they'll be rendered homeless? I mean, that's every parent's fear. They don't want their children rendered homeless or indeed, you know, squatting in friends' places. Not feeling they have their own home or a safe space.
Well, I guess that's where I was coming from with the whole, you know, if it comes to a point where you know you're being taken advantage of, if that's correct grammar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, and that happens so much, where the parents, they know, and the child, in inverted commas, also knows well, they can actually afford to move out, but they may not be able to live in the way they'd like to.
Yeah, not have the same disposable income.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But it is, as a parent, I would say it is your job to teach your child to be responsible, no matter how old that child is.
Okay.
You know, that is your role as a parent, and you are entitled to your own life.
Very good. It's a very, very complex issue. And
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I could see, you can see it, everything would be a minefield for a lot of parents, and they're afraid to go there.
Yeah. Because you're afraid of hurting people's feelings. You don't want people to feel rejected or to feel frightened either, you know, or unable or all of those things. But and I understand that there are exceptional cases where there might actually be an issue of homelessness. But
yes.
I suspect in the vast majority of cases, it's about responsibility aversion and people being, you know, afraid to take that step and to go back out. And I get that. I do.
Okay.
But, you know, we do have a responsibility to ourselves as well to live our own lives.
Very good. And on that note, we'll leave it here for this week. But Sally, do you have a blog written? I know you write a blog every week, and indeed you have articles in the East Cork Journal. Do you have any, you know, something in your page that you can refer people to this, or are you planning on writing
actually
on something?
No, I haven't ever written anything on this. Maybe I will. But no, the most recent piece on my site, which is sallyoreilly.com, is the piece for the International Women's Day. So people can have a read of that.
Okay. Well, then maybe this is something we might return to at a later date. And particularly if you do end up writing a blog or whatever in it, we might further explore these issues.
Yeah, I would like to research it actually and see what the actual figures are, you know, rather than just going off the bat of some interview I heard earlier. Because it is an interesting subject, I think.
Yeah. And again, like, there are both two sides to it as well. And of course, we must acknowledge there are a lot of happy families out there too who are actually coexisting quite well together with their children, so it's
they
not
are.
To
and I think they're the people that are talking, they're the people that are getting it right.
Yes, talking. Again, it all comes down to communication, I guess. So thank you, Sally, for sharing your wisdom.
You're
as
welcome.
Always
thank
it's
you
been a great pleasure as always.